Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. We're going to wrap up our series on the Book of Psalms here today because next week we have a special presentation that I'll mention at the end of service. But as we've been going through the Psalms and talking about walking with God, we've tried to hit on some different elements that we don't necessarily always talk about or always acknowledge. And there are some exciting things shared in the Book of Psalms, and there's some harder things that relate to our lives and relate to those parts of our lives that are more difficult to navigate. I think all of us here would acknowledge that there are things happening in our world where when we look around us, whether it's in our lives or in our communities or the world in general, we see a lot of bad stuff. And there are definitely moments when we look outside and we feel like the bad guys are winning. You look at crime rates, or you look at the scandals, you look at maybe who's in charge of certain governments around the world, and you're like, how are these people always getting ahead in life? How come those are the ones with the money? You see people who have certain opinions about moral standards or about how things should operate, and it feels like those people get louder and louder and louder. It's harder to find good jobs and good work. There are all these health problems that you're facing, and it feels like for some of us, you get a little bit ahead, and then you take three steps back, and you get one thing figured out, and then you've got to go back to the doctor to get something else figured out, and you've got your kids in school, and you think about your kids in school and the struggles they're facing and the questions they're facing, and there's questions about what are they learning in school, and there's things about, like, what about the other students in school and that whole environment, and are they going to be able to handle what they're being taught, or are they going to be able to handle themselves socially in those high-pressure environments? Other times, it feels like, man, it's really hard to find good, solid friends. You look at media and you look at all these things, and it just feels like everything is bombarding us, and that the people that are doing selfish, greedy, evil things keep getting ahead, and it feels like we keep getting hit and hit and hit. The Psalms do not hide or shy away from those feelings. If you have your Bibles, or you've got your phones with the Bible app, the Book of Psalm, chapter 74, is where we're going. Now, as you can see, Psalm is spelled with a P at the start. It's in the Old Testament, and we're going to Psalm 74. And this isn't a short, it's 23 verses, but as we've been going through these, I think it's important for us to read it. And so I'm going to read it, and you can follow along. Now, you may have a different translation of it, but it's going to be the same basic content. Just the wording might be slightly different, but this is from the New International Version, Psalm 74. This is what it says. O God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smolder against the sheep of your pasture? Remember the nation you purchased long ago, the people of your inheritance whom you redeemed, Mount Zion, where you dwelt. Turn your steps toward these everlasting ruins, all this destruction the enemy has brought on the sanctuary. Your foes roared in the place where you met with us. They set up their standards as signs. They behaved like men wielding axes to cut through a thicket of trees. They smashed all the carved paneling with their axes and hatchets. They burned your sanctuary to the ground. They defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their hearts, "We will crush them completely." They burned every place where God was worshipped in the land. We are given no signs from God, no prophets are left, and none of us knows how long this will be. How long will the enemy mock you, God? Will the foe revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Take it from the folds of your garment and destroy them. But God is my king from long ago. He brings salvation on the earth. It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave it as food to the creatures of the desert. It was you who opened up springs and streams. You dried up the ever-flowing rivers. The day is yours, and yours also the night. You established the sun and moon. It was you who set all the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter. Remember how the enemy has mocked you, Lord. How foolish people have reviled your name. Do not hand over the life of your dove to wild beasts. Do not forget the lives of your afflicted people forever. Have regard for your covenant, because haunts of violence fill the dark places of the land. Do not let the oppressed retreat in disgrace. May the poor and needy praise your name. Rise up, O God, and defend your cause. Remember how fools mock you all day long. Do not ignore the clamor of your adversaries, the uproar of your enemies, which rises continually. I'll tell you, I read that psalm, and there's a couple things that are a little bit odd about it to me. That psalm seems kind of pessimistic. Normally, we look at the scripture, we read stories, we read these psalms, and we're trying to look for something that makes sense, something that gives us something to hold on to move forward. But there doesn't seem to be that in here. Like you've got Jerusalem being punished, you see God abandoning his people, and the people are there and they're seeing all the bad guys winning, and they're seeing this destruction. It feels like God has left them, abandoned them, and they're like, "God, are you going to leave us alone? Are you going to hide from us forever? Are the bad guys going to win here? Where are you?" But the psalm doesn't point blame on anybody. It doesn't give us any kind of moral reasoning. They don't say, "Well, we messed up, and so we should repent." It doesn't talk about whether it was their fault or somebody else's fault. It doesn't give like a definitive promise or answer to the fear that they're facing. It doesn't even really allude to what the next stage of the story is. It just leaves you in this place where things are going bad, and it feels like things are bad, and God is there, and you know God is there, but things are just bad. And normally when we read a psalm like this and we deal with these kinds of situations, we would much rather have, like, okay, this is a bad situation, but there's got to be some sort of meaning to it. There's got to be some kind of conclusive analysis that explains, okay, you're in this situation because of A, B, and C, or you're dealing with this because you did wrong or because they did wrong, and if you fix it, then everything's good. We like to see that there's some kind of promise, that it's not going to last forever. We like to see that there's maybe a timeline where God says, you know what, you're going to go through this for a little while, but then it'll come out better on the other side. Even if there was a statement of, God, I cry out to you and I know you hear me, but that's not even in there. There's not even the acknowledgement saying, God, I know you hear me. So what's the point of this? What are we supposed to take from this? This doesn't give us hope. This doesn't give us some direction. It doesn't teach us something about what we shouldn't have done or what we need to be doing. Like, what is the point of this psalm? I think the point of this psalm is to remember just how important it is for us to grieve. Another word is lament. How important it is for us to acknowledge that bad things happen. And it's okay for you to be upset about that. Maybe even completely, absolutely necessary for you to be upset about that. I think we need to remember who God is and what He's done. I think we need to remember that you're not the only person to ever feel forgotten by God. We have this habit and we have this inclination, I guess, to want to put a spin on everything. When bad things happen, we want to put a positive spin on it. Right? The bad things happen and we want to say, well, that's because something better is coming, or something bad happens and it's like, well, maybe there's another plan. But sometimes we don't have those answers. Sometimes we don't get those promises. Sometimes that's not in the cards. This psalm doesn't really point to any of those positive spins. It just acknowledges, it complains, it grieves, it laments the hard, bad things that are happening in the psalmist's life. And we need to acknowledge that, and we need to remember that this isn't just you, but it's all of us, that we feel these things in our lives, and that at times we feel forgotten by God. And for one reason or another, we try to put a spin on it. We try to hide it, and we try to hide those things. I may have shared this with you in a sermon before. If not, I know I've shared this with a couple people. But in my own personal journey of faith, over the past 10, 15 years, there have been situations that I've gone through that have left me wondering, God, where are you? I've prayed for families and watched them fall apart. Close friends that I thought their marriages were going to last forever split up, and prayed desperately for that to not happen and for something to get restored and it not come about. people who were sick, who never got better. I thought about hell. And the thought of hell was so incredibly painful and horrible that my reaction and inclination was to somehow distance myself from that idea to make it so that it wasn't quite so bad. Maybe not everybody that doesn't follow. Maybe there's a chance they don't go to hell. Maybe hell isn't that bad. Maybe people that go to hell, maybe they're not really conscious of it. And maybe it's not actually as horrible as I think it is. And what I did in trying to make that less painful and less hurtful and like I maybe wasn't losing as much ground is I ended up getting further and further and further away from God. To the point where I wasn't sure if he was around, I didn't know if he was listening, I didn't know if he was going to show up, I didn't know if I had gotten it all wrong, I didn't know. And what I had to eventually come to realize is that I can't minimize the pain. I need to acknowledge it. And that the grace of God is actually big enough to handle the big pain. And when I was able to acknowledge that and embrace that pain and embrace that fear, His grace increased. And I had tried to avoid the pain and minimize the pain to make it easier to swallow, but really what I needed to do was swallow the pain, and God was going to come through with more grace that would overwhelm that pain. And in that process and in that journey of coming to acknowledge that and gain that, what I learned was by seeing hell and by seeing how families can fall apart and seeing how much pain and how broken the world is, somehow, mysteriously, I saw how much God loves us and is fighting for us and how desperately He wants to do something different in our lives. By avoiding the pain, I missed out on the grace of God. You're not the only person to ever feel forgotten by God. This is a real fun message, isn't it? What I think all of us need to do with that is, one, we need to grieve. There are situations and there are problems in our world, in our lives, that we can't hide from and we don't need to minimize. Grieve it. Remember who God is and wait on Him. And I would really like to be able to sit here and say, you know what, if you do A, B, and C, then in 1 week's time, then the gates of heaven will open up and you will feel totally great and then you will get your $1 million. Amen? But I'd just be making stuff up. Sometimes we just need to grieve and remember God and wait. What that means is when the cancer comes back, you don't need to put a positive spin on it. when your kids or your grandkids are running from God, you don't need to somehow explain it away and say, well, you know, deep down they really know, so I'm... You might just need to grieve it. When you've got that close relationship that breaks down, you don't need to say, well, I guess they weren't the right person for me, or God must have something better for me. You might just need to feel the pain. When you're betrayed, you don't need to dissect it to figure out how it all happened, to finally get an answer for why. And those times that you screw up and you mess up your life or the lives of those around you, you don't need to somehow make it better by wallowing in self-pity and hating yourself and somehow just doing everything you can to make it right. Sometimes you just need to sit and grieve and mourn. And I don't mean that we should be pessimistic. I don't mean that we should just simply accept defeat and say, you know what, we have lost and all is meaningless and useless and you should just give up now. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, yes, God is there and He is still real and He is still fighting and He does have a plan and He is living and active and He is at work. Absolutely. But in moments, we need to pause and we need to accept that some things just plain suck. And God will meet you there. And God will meet you there. Grieve. Remember who God is and wait on Him. The worship team is going to come back up, and they're going to lead us in a few more songs, which is this wonderful moment to kind of process this and work through maybe what you're thinking and feeling. Again, I would really like to be able to sit up here and say, you know what? It's really not that bad. But I know better. Sometimes life really is that bad, and we just need to grieve it. We need to mourn. And when we do that, I believe that God, it opens the door for God to speak and minister and heal our hearts in ways that don't happen unless we embrace the pain and the loss and the hurt. You're not the only person to ever feel forgotten by God. And I don't know what you need to do with that this morning, but whatever it is that you hear the Holy Spirit whispering to you, just lean into that.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.